The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Hello, everyone. The question about the basic purpose for life has puzzled mankind for thousands of years. Scholars, intellectuals, and theologians have tried in vain to answer this most important question. Why were you born? Is there a reason for being born or not? Three broad schools of thought seem to summarize the general thinking about this fundamental issue regarding the purpose for life and the purpose for the existence of human beings on this planet. The first one involves many millions of people, even billions. They believe that there is no purpose for life. There is no God, no Jesus Christ. There are no angels. There is no such thing as life after death. According to them, the Bible is not inspired. This school of thought, and it's a deeply held belief by literally billions of human beings, this school of thought, this philosophy, says this: just live for today. Be as comfortable as you can, get as many things as possible, including power, survive as long as you're able to, and then you die. When you die, that's it. Years from now, nobody will know anything about you. They won't know anything about your life or what you have accomplished or what you have achieved. Your life will have had no meaning and no purpose whatsoever. Nothing. It will be as though you had never lived. All the talent, all of the ability, and all of the accomplishments in your life were of no lasting value. When your life is over, it's over, period. That approach, that idea, that philosophy and thinking reminds me of a passage of Scripture found over here in Ecclesiastes. If you'll get your Bible and follow along, I think you'll find it very interesting. Notice over here in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 2. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What profit has a man of all his labor which he takes under the sun? What good does it do? Verse 11. There's no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that come after. In other words, it's just all vanity. It's all just a cloud of mist. It's nothing but a handful of wind. Here today, gone tomorrow. Now, this kind of thinking, this school of thought, is actually true if you leave God out of the picture. And what a miserable way to live life based on that belief. There's no purpose in life. There's no reason for living. Just live for today, and then tomorrow you're gone, and then that's it. Never to be heard from again, and never to be appreciated by anyone as the years go by. You made no difference whatsoever. It's as though you never existed. And people actually believe that. It's fatalistic, and it's hopeless, but people actually live their life based on that belief. Billions of them have for generations. Now, another school of thought on this question of why were you born and the purpose in life held by millions of people is this: I know God exists, but I don't know why I was born or why anybody was born. God must have a big reason for creating life. I just don't know what it is nor what I'm supposed to be doing about it. Many people believe that. A great man that had that particular belief was Winston Churchill. Let's notice what he said. And he was one of the greatest leaders in history and the man of his century. He addressed the United States Congress on December the 26th, 1941, and he brought up this very question. And here's what he said, quote, "I will say that any man must indeed have a blind soul who cannot see that some great purpose and design is being worked out here below." Like so many sincere and well-meaning people, Mr. Churchill knew there must be a great purpose to life. He just didn't know what it was. He could see the handiwork of the great Creator in creation and in human beings. He knew that there was a reason for life, a purpose in life, and that a great design and purpose was being worked out here below. But he was never able to understand what it was and what he ought to be doing about it. And billions of people fit into that category on this question of the purpose for life. The third broad school of thought on this question takes this view. they understand it and feel strongly about it. And that's this. There is an awesome purpose for life, and we can know exactly what it is if we will look into the Bible and prove what it says about this most important of all questions. Why were you born? And God's Word has much to say about this vital subject. So let's see what the Bible says about this question and this conclusion held by a growing number of people on the purpose for life. Once again, this category of people believes that there is a tremendous purpose for life and that you can prove what it is and that you can know what you ought to be doing about it if you will look into the Bible and believe what it says and prove it. Let's take time to do that. Let's turn over here to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 6 to begin with. Here in the New Testament, a tremendous book inspired by God, Hebrews chapter 2, and this very question is asked and answered. We'll begin in verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him?" David asked that question. You can read where he did over in Psalms chapter 8. What is man? Verse 7 of Hebrews 2. You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor, and you did set him over the work of your hands. You've put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that you put all in subjection under him, you left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Because you see, man and woman and human beings, we're still matter. We're still human beings. So we are over the creation in the sense of mind power, in the sense of creativity and innovation. But the universe is not under our feet yet. We are not over it. And that's why he says, we see not yet all things put under him in verse 8. Now notice verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. He became a human being. He was God in the flesh, but he was a human being, so he was a little lower than the angels in terms of physical life instead of spiritual life. And why was this? For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Look at what's unfolding here. The answer to why we were born is being made plain. Verse 11. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto you. And again I will put my trust in him, and again behold, I and the children which God hath given me. What is man? The question is asked right here in this passage. And the answer is, man is made from matter as human beings for a much greater purpose than what this life has to offer. Man was made for the great purpose of being born into the family of God along with Jesus Christ, and he says it right here, they are my brethren, we are all the children of God, and we will be together for all eternity. Now, this tremendous explanation of the purpose in life actually starts right over here in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. So let's go there. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. I want you to notice something here. It does not say, let me make man in my image. It says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. That's plural. That's more than one. And the God family has two members in it right now, making it more than one. There's God the Father, and there's Jesus Christ the Son. That makes up the family of God right now. But you see, they want their family to expand. They want to have a large family that they can share everything with. And that's why they say what they say here in verse 26 of Genesis 1. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. It's like a man and a woman get married, and now it's husband and wife, and now they're married, and then they start having children, and they start reproducing themselves in order to build a family. And what do those children look like? They look like their father and mother. They are born, and they have their image. They have their likeness. They are their children, making up their family. Well, that's what God is doing. He's reproducing himself. And he created us in human form, in a general likeness of him, and he wants us to overcome and grow and develop and build character like he has, so that one day we can be born into his family as spirit beings to be like he is and to be like Jesus Christ is and to have eternal life like they have. That's the great overall purpose for why we were born. And this whole plan of salvation involving all of mankind who will obey God takes place through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we're going to inherit all things right along with him. He'll always be over us, and the Father will always be over everything, but we will be in the same family that Jesus Christ is in, and we will be like him, and we will be co-heirs with him. And he's made it all possible. Now, that's what the Bible says. Let's notice right over here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. Look what Romans 8 and verse 17 says. Actually, let's begin in verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's what it says right there. Children of God. That means family. Now notice verse 17 of Romans 8. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, if a man and a woman become husband and wife and then have children and become father and mother, then they grow old and die and they've left a will to their children. Everything will be given to their children. They will all be joint heirs to inherit all that is left from the life of their mother and father, their family, their heirs, and their joint heirs. Well, that's what it's saying right here in verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. God is building a family so that he can give everything to us, and we will inherit what he has, and we will be joint heirs with Jesus Christ as great spirit beings, the children of God and the family of God, to glorify and honor and obey our Father, and to follow our elder brother Jesus Christ throughout all eternity, carrying out God's plan everywhere throughout the universe. That's the great purpose in life. Continuing in verse 18 of Romans 8, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. It says glory, it means glory. Now let's turn over here to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. 1 John chapter 3. And verse 2, let's notice what God's word has to say about this subject. And of course, this is talking about the Father and Jesus Christ and their human children who will become their children with eternal life through Christ because of the plan of salvation designed by the family of God involving the Father and the Son. Actually, let's begin in verse 1 of 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, or children of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Verse 2, beloved, now are we the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. That has not happened yet, but when it does happen, look what it will involve. Continuing, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Shall we read over that? Shall we ignore that or reject that or forget that? Or shall we read it and believe it and understand that it says what it means and means what it says? We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is when he comes. Who's coming? Jesus Christ is. Notice verse 3. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. In other words, he now understands why he was born. He grasps and comprehends the purpose in life, and it is so awesome, so exciting and inspiring and thrilling that he will sacrifice anything and everything in order to fulfill that great purpose of being born into the family of God as children of God and being like Jesus Christ but subject to him. That's what 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3 is saying. And what does it say in verse 3? Every man, every woman, every person that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. He does whatever it takes to inherit the kingdom of God, to inherit his place and her place in the family of God. He overcomes and grows and sacrifices and yields and submits and changes. He gives up the things of this world, and he cuts off any influence from Satan the devil, and he crushes the pull of his human nature, and he takes on the nature of Christ and follows him through life, trying to be like him and doing what he says. In other words, he begins choosing right over wrong, good over bad, God over this world, over Satan, and over the human nature that we battle every day. Why? Well, because the great purpose in life is so awesome, so thrilling, so fulfilling and challenging and rewarding that satiating the five senses and soaking up what the world has to offer pales into insignificance by comparison. Now we understand why we're here. God is building a family which he wants to share everything with, and he wants everybody in that family. It's right here in the Bible. Let's notice by turning to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14, this incredible truth about the family of God. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The whole family. We have a human family and many human families. We have mankind. And within the spectrum of mankind, we have family units. Well, now we read about a much higher level of family life, the God family. And it says right here in Ephesians 3:15, that whole family is named after God. It's the God family. Right now, there are two members in it, the Father and the Son. As the plan of salvation unfolds through the resurrection of the dead, it will then include millions and even billions of family members that will become great spirit beings, children of God that have been given eternal life, inheriting all things, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. In other words, to wrap your mind around this previously misunderstood or completely ignored truth of the purpose in life and the reason for human existence on earth. Life is a tremendous gift, but it takes on such deeper meaning. There's much more excitement and much more purpose to everything we do when we comprehend what we're reading here today, that God is reproducing himself, building a family that will inherit all things and will be given eternal life to live forever, carrying out his plan throughout the entire universe. That's worth overcoming anything for. That's worth sacrificing and walking away from anything that might titillate or satiate the five senses. And that's worth then fully embracing a new way of life, becoming a new creature in Christ, and walking down the path laid down by God's law and God's word for the rest of our lives. So we see here in Ephesians 3:15 that the God family is being expanded through Christ and the plan of salvation, and that God the Father wants every human being who ever lived to be born again into that family as great spirit beings and members of God's very family, called by the name of God. It is the God family. Let's turn now over to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7. It kind of caps this whole discussion off here in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7. Let's begin reading in verse 6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Are you thirsty for the fountain of the water of life freely? Well, I think you are. I think every human being is. They just don't know where to go to drink from that fountain of the water of life. The place to go is to the Bible. And the one the water comes from is God the Father and Jesus Christ. It's speaking about spiritual nourishment. It's speaking about spiritual understanding and strength to overcome and grow and obey and yield and submit our lives to Him and live our lives in a different way. Not the way of the world, not the way of Satan, not the way of human nature, but the way of Jesus Christ and the way of God's Word and His law. Now notice verse 7 of Revelation 21. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. This means we actually, through God's strength and help, and the power of His Holy Spirit and the leadership of Jesus Christ, this means that we actually change, that we actually grow more like God the Father, that we yield to Him and surrender and submit to Him, that we develop the attitude of not my will, but your will be done. I don't any longer want to do it my way. Now I want to do it your way. Now I want to love you with all my heart, mind, and soul, and I want to love my neighbor as myself. Now I do not want to get even when somebody does me wrong. I want to return good for evil. I do not want to gratify the flesh. I do not want to scratch and claw my way to the top. Rather, I want to change and yield and submit to you and obey your word. And I want to overcome bad habits, overcome my temper, overcome my selfishness. And I want to replace all that with humility and with obedience and with a burning desire and drive to live life the way you've designed life to be lived, so that one day, not only will I have experienced physical life, I then will be given eternal life as a member of your family. That's the approach and attitude that he's talking about here when he says in Revelation 21 and verse 7, He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now, once again, we don't want to get picky when we're reading the Bible, but we don't want to overlook any word in the Bible. Jesus Christ himself said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So every word of God is inspired and is important, and we need to take note of it. And one that we want to take note of here in Revelation 21, verse 7, is the word all. Let's read it again. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Do you know what all means there? It means all. It means everything. It means eternal life in the family of God, inheriting the entire universe under the authority of God the Father and the authority of Jesus Christ, his Son. It means being given eternal life to carry out the plan of God throughout the entire universe as glorified, all-powerful spirit beings full of holy, righteous, godly character, full of joy, full of happiness, full of enthusiasm and cheer, full of the attitude of giving and serving, and doing that forever and ever. And it means that in this life, we learn to do that now as best we can as human beings. To give instead of get, to serve instead of being served, to return good for evil, to build holy, righteous, godly character now so that that character will instill in us what God's looking for and can use forever and ever in his family throughout eternity. That's the purpose in life. That's when life takes on tremendous meaning. Everything counts then. Everything we do right leads us toward the kingdom. Everything we do wrong leads us away from the kingdom. Therefore, with God's help, we want to live a life where we're doing right things instead of wrong things, good things instead of bad things, making correct choices instead of incorrect choices. Why? Because the stakes are so high. And what are those stakes? Eternal life in the kingdom and family of God to inherit all things. And it does use the word all, and it does mean all things. But in order to inherit all things, we must live a life of growing and overcoming and becoming more and more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to cap off all that we have covered about life's great purpose by reading a section from a book entitled The Incredible Human Potential, written by Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong. I'm reading from pages 183 and 184, where Mr. Armstrong says this, "We are, as quoted before, heirs of God and joint heirs as brethren with Christ. He has gone on ahead through a resurrection to glory as the pioneer. He is the firstborn among many brethren. He has inherited all things, the universe. We are still heirs, still in the gestation stage of the process of being born of God. Jesus is now our elder brother and high priest, supervising our spiritual development, preparing us to be kings and priests, reigning with him. The first 1,000 years we shall reign on the earth, for he shall have made them kings and priests, and they shall reign on the earth. That's a quotation from Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, from the Revised Standard Version of the Bible. Mr. Armstrong goes on to say this, "And after that, the passage in Hebrews 2 shows that then, again under Christ, we shall be given power to rule over the entire vast universe, literally all things. For that is the power that has been given to Christ and will be ours as joint inheritors with him. Yes, there is a life after death for those obedient to God, a spirit life of incredible potential beyond our wildest dreams. Can we humans grasp the awesome portent of these astounding truths? Attaining immortal life should be our all-encompassing goal, for that is the gift and desire of our merciful Father and his Son, Jesus Christ." In other words, what Mr. Armstrong was saying here, backed up by many scriptures from the Bible, our Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, want to share all that they have, including eternal life, with the family that is being developed now on this earth that will later be spirit beings in their kingdom and in their family under the supervision of Jesus Christ and the authority of God the Father for all eternity throughout the entire universe. That, in a nutshell, is the great purpose of life. If you would like to know more about this exciting and vital subject, why were you born and the purpose of life, you might want to request our free CD entitled, Why Were You Born? We will also send you our companion CDs showing how you can prove that God does exist and how you can prove that the Bible really is God's inspired word. These companion CDs will open up this whole subject of the purpose in life, why you were born, why others were born, and what we all ought to be doing about it. In order to receive these CD messages, all you have to do is request them. They're free of charge. They'll be sent to you by return mail at no cost to you. There is no obligation on your part, and there will be no follow-up to your request. So if you would like this free material, just call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. That's 1-800-581-1317. Or you can visit our website at straightforward.org. And be sure to ask for your free subscription to Straightforward Magazine. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.